What's going on, guys, and welcome to the Say Yes Project, where permission is granted. I am your host, Ariana, and I'm a child of God who is here to help you guys accept the invitation from God and all that comes with it. Before we get started in today's episode, I encourage you to follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify so that you can get the weekly Wednesday drop. I also encourage you to follow us on Instagram at the Say Yes Project Pod so that you can get regular updates on everything involving the show. Now that we have the intro out of the way, let's go ahead and get started, you guys. So we are officially in 2025. It is insane how quickly 2024 went, but I can definitely say that it was a year for the book, right? So a lot of times when we get to the beginning of the year, we are doing a lot of wrap-ups, right? Whether it's music that we've listened to, what memories we have made in the year, what goals we've met, or what goals we haven't. This is a time where a lot of people become either very optimistic or very disgruntled, because oftentimes we are trying to figure out how can we make this year better than the last. If the year was good, we want to make it better. If the year was horrible, we want to never relive it again. So what I noticed this year, funny enough, is that a lot of people were not feeling 2024. That there seems to be a lot of us was on the trials and tribulation package from God that many of us didn't want to be on. So I kind of want to begin talking about these kind of common themes that you find in your goal setting and in your walk into the new fresh year. So a lot of times we are, you know, looking at these external goals, right? These goals that maybe make us feel more established. We feel like we want to make more money. We want to move further in our career. We want our businesses to expand. Maybe we want to find love, or, you know, just do things that are very outside of ourselves. And a lot of times what that does is it kind of makes us lose sight of, one, what we've come through, what we've overcome in the previous year. And it also kind of keeps us in this very much future reality versus the very present and real what is. And with a lot of the external goals, we lose sight of the internal things that make us better. So what about forgiveness? I want to forgive more. I want to love more. I want to extend grace more. I want to have peace. I want to be more patient. These are things that I don't oftentimes hear in like goal setting. Maybe even we get a little inkling of like, I want to improve my mental health, but we don't really always understand what that actually means. So I feel like it's important for us to establish goals with God more in the center. But in order for us to put God back in the center, we have to understand His truth for our lives. So I want to kind of give a reflection over my own year, over 2024. So 2024 was a very transformative year for me. I started the year off with setting very intentional things about what I wanted to do in this world, what I wanted to do with my life, what I wanted to do in my friend group, in my business, all of these different things, because I began to understand that God was making space and room in parts of my life that didn't often happen. Like, I was always busy, whether it was accomplishing goals, accomplishing my academic goals, my professional goals, and things like that, that once I hit the pinnacle of those things, I found myself a little bit empty, very empty to, okay, so now what? What do I do? And I believe that God was calling me to recognize, okay, so you've been searching all around in all the world to make you feel better, more accomplished, more, you know, things like that, but you're not feeling that. So maybe now is my time. Like, it's my time to, and when I say my time, I mean the Lord's time, for me to get closer to Him. So at the beginning of the year, I found my church, I mean, did a consecration fast. So we did 8 days. You could either do like kind of a Daniel's fast, or you could even do just a straight up water fast. I chose a water fast, and I realized in that space that God wanted me to get closer to Him. He wanted me to get closer to Him and understand the world from His lens versus my own lens. Like, my own lens was very worldly. Like, okay, God, I've got the apartment. I've, you know, got my career. I have great friends. What else more do you want me to be doing? But I sat in a space in that time, because when you're fasting, you're praying. Well, that's what you're supposed to be doing, is you're praying and in the Bible and really seeing some things. And I realized in a dream that I had that it was time for me to follow him to wherever He took me. And that began how I set my intentions. So my intentions began with, what did I want God to reveal to me? And what I realized in the consecration fast is that I didn't know who I was in this makeup of God. While I grew up knowing about God and knowing about Jesus and the Holy Spirit from like being raised up in a church setting, I did not know where my place in this faith walk was. I always, like, as a child, felt like, well, when I get older, I'll have like these beautiful testimonies like that I heard in church, and like that's when God is going to reveal Himself to me. But nobody taught me what that was actually going to look like. So in that, I began my own walk with God, because before it was very legalistic and I never felt like I was quite getting up to scratch with God, and I wanted it to be different. So I started reading and I started praying and I started, you know, filling up my time space with the things of God. And in that time, I realized that I had been ingesting a lot of the lies of the enemy. So that's where we're going to start. Those lies of the enemy. Have you ever sat there and wondered why you oftentimes feel empty even though you're accomplishing things, or why you feel empty when things are going wrong? Like, why do we always feel this space of maybe not good enough, like broken, you know, all of these different things? Like, where is that coming from? Well, it's coming from the enemy. And I know a lot of people don't want to hear that because they feel like it loses a little bit of like your experience in this world, but it is the enemy. We live in a fallen world, people. Like, that's the world that we live in. And a lot of times, the reason why we feel so broken, why we feel like we're not enough in these different things, is because we have all this knowledge of, whether it's we can compare ourselves to other people, whether we have these eyes that see beauty subjectively, whether it is because of racism, sexism, any of these isms that make somebody else more of a priority, or more of a top, and there's a bottom. So like, if that's the thing that's going on constantly, then it's safe to say that we're going to feel like we're not enough. We're not doing what we're supposed to. We begin to be envious and bitter. And then on top of that, life is always going to have some suffering because we live in a fallen world. So we're not even going to talk about the people who are truly traumatized by another human being, or by the elements of the world, or by disease, right? So all of those things happen, and it creates this messaging to us, this belief system that's planted in our hearts and grows into like mighty oak trees in our lives. So what do you do with that information? Like, what do you do when you don't feel like you're enough? Like, when you feel like, hey, I don't see how I fit into this master plan. Oftentimes we continue to adopt the lie, and we adopt the lie, whether it is through fighting it out, whether it is from running away from our problems, whether it is from freezing up in situations, and sometimes it's straight up fixing. Like, we begin to tinker with what we believe will make us enough, or what we believe will not make us broken anymore. So that may come from money and conquest of women and men, right? because it's 2024 or 2025, really. I'm having to get used to us actually being in 2025. That's crazy. So it might come from money. It might come from sexual conquest. It might come from this ascribed, like, if I get to this body goal, I'll be enough. If I get to live in this apartment in Atlanta, it'll be enough, or apartment in New York or LA, or, you know, I can buy the house, I can drive the nice car, I can have all these luxury items. And we believe that that will fix the brokenness and the emptiness that our hearts feel. And what you notice is that it doesn't. Like, instead, it just, we look for more things that we can, you know, fill those space gaps up with. So we have to almost slow down and recognize the lie that's being told and acknowledge that it is a trick of the enemy, right? He loves for us to be in the world. He loves for us to, you know, want to fill our stuff, fill up all this gap space with his things. Because if we were to fill our gap space up with God's things, then he doesn't have his influence over us. And we know, or one of the things you'll understand if you, you know, you dive into your word, is that the enemy has always hated us because we are in the perfect image of God, right? Like, that's not up for debate. That's not up for, you know, challenge or understanding. It said it in Genesis where it says he made man in his perfect image, right? So what are we supposed to do with lie messages as well? And here's another thing to go back to our lie. A lot of times a lie is perpetrated by the people that we call family, that we call friends, that we call partners in this world. So if they're telling it to us and we're telling it to ourselves and we're constantly in this environment of, you know, you're not good enough, you're broken, you are always going to have to go out and search for things to get fullness, then yeah, of course, you're going to constantly adopt a lie message. It's like drinking from a toxic well, right? My mentor always talks about the toxic wells that we drink from, and we see everybody getting sick, but we don't have the understanding to put the toxic water down, right? So I want to talk about what the truth actually is. What is the truth that we have ran from because our world or our experiences tells us that this one thing is true? So the truth of the matter is that I already started with it. We're made in God's perfect image. And I was listening to an Instagram clip from a fellow content creator. I can't recall the name at this moment, but she asked the question of, if you think you're broken, then that means God is broken, right? Well, of course, nobody's going to say that. Nobody's going to say, well, of course, God's not broken. He is all powerful, almighty. Or you may feel like he's broken because of human experiences. But if we're talking about God, if we're talking about the word, if that's what we are going towards, then no, God's not broken and God's not enough. He's powerful. He's mighty. He's loving. He's caring. He's this heavenly father that takes care of us and all of these different things. So if that's the case and we are made in God's perfect image, then something isn't congruent in the messaging that you're broken, but God isn't. That you're not enough, but God is enough. And a lot of times we have to kind of sit in that space and say, okay, so if those two things don't make sense, then does that mean that I actually am enough? That I'm actually a whole creature? Yes, that's what it means. And a lot of times we don't slow down enough in our worlds. We're constantly moving, constantly trying to hustle to get the things that we feel like is going to make us whole and make us these things that we don't even sit in the revelation that we are already living in a complete whole body. So that's the truth. That's the truth of the matter, is that we have always been enough. God has always cherished us and all the things that we are. And one of the scriptures that had really struck me in 2024 that I feel like helped me begin to come to terms with this revealed truth is Psalms 139, the whole Psalms. So Psalms 139 pretty much just kind of tells you who you are in this great, you know, scheme of the divine plan from God, right? So I'm going to pull out a couple of different scriptures, just because if we read it all, then we'll be here all day, right? But even if we go to Psalms 139:7, it says, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead and your right hand shall hold me." So I went a little further than my point, but it's that first part of like, okay, God's presence is right here with you because he loves you and he adores you, right? And even if we go a little bit further, it talks about how he formed us in the inward parts of our mother's womb, and he knew us then. So that puts into perspective how much the Lord really took his time to make sure that you were here and you were in this part of the time period. A lot of times we try to take in control what God has put us here for, and we forget that. And especially if you did not have the best 2024 and you felt like you were broken down to the innermost parts of yourself, you also have to recognize that you made it to 2025 because God intended for you to, because he has something more for you, that he has all this love and cherishing of you, that he allowed these storms, he yielded to the storms, he maybe even created the storm to correct and perfect you. Because a lot of times we experience storms in our lives and believe that that is God's punishment for us, and that's not quite what's going on. So of course we have the storms that are created, and like I said, they are there for your perfection or your correction. That's what's happening. But we also can never forget that we are also experiencing some of the consequences of our own action, and God just allows it to happen. So yeah, you may have felt like you did something happen, or a deal didn't go through, or you didn't get the promotion, but like, were you stewarding it well? Were you praying to God before you made a decision? Were you doing some of these things as a believer that has a scripture in your Bible and a scripture in your bio? Because if not, then you may want to sit there and think, slow down and think, is this that happened to me in 2024 a result of my own behaviors? Or was God preparing me for something magnificent that's going to come in the next year? These are things to think about, because if you don't, you'll constantly find yourself at odds with God. You'll constantly feel like he's not doing anything for you in life, because you're looking at him as either a genie or you're looking at him as this punisher. And that's oftentimes goes back to this brokenness that we felt from other people. You know, we oftentimes give God these human attributes and they don't belong to him. And if we can recognize that he is all powerful and he is perfect in all of his ways, and that his thoughts are not your thoughts and his ways are not your ways, then you will realize how powerful and how intentional God is to bring you through the storm and still have you here in 2025 to work through and implement whatever you learned in that trial. So that's one way of looking at it. So that's one way God looks at us. He looks at us as these children that no matter what we do, he's going to create presence with us. Like, he's going to be in our presence. We're going to be in his presence. And especially that line where it says, "If I make my bed in hell, you will be there." That means that even in your current circumstances, where you may be not exactly where you want to be, you didn't hit all the goals you wanted to hit in 2024, but God is still with you, even when you're messing up. I can't tell you how many times in 2024 that I messed up, right? Where I was doing what the Lord asked me to do. I was praying and reading my Bible and going to church and doing everything I needed to do, and not just doing them, but being it at the same time. And some days I would just fall off and I would just be sitting there like wanting to beat myself up. But I also had to recognize that all I have to do is reconnect back with God. And he's right there. It's not like he's left me. It's not like he is said, nope, you had three strikes and now you're out. No, he's right there with me, right? So another scripture that has really settled with me, which I briefly mentioned in our first episode, which is Isaiah 43, right? So for Isaiah 43, 1 talks about how he claims us, he calls us by name, we are his. But if we go a little bit further, 23:4 says, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you, I give men in return for you, people in exchange for your life. So not only is that so powerful that we are precious, think about that. We are precious to him and we are loved by him. So like, what do you do with something that you find precious? A lot of times in my work, I ask people like, okay, so what is the most precious thing you have? And they'll say some variation of their home, their car, maybe a child. Like they might say, my child is very precious to me. Or a pair of shoes, whatever the situation is. And I was like, okay, so how do you treat the things that are precious to you? And a lot of times you can hear it like, oh, I take care of it. I make sure it gets regularly cleaned. I'm wiping stuff down all the time. If it's a house, I'm taking my car to get the oil changes that it needs. If it's my child, I pour into them, right? Like I make sure that, you know they're loved. I, you know, teach them things, all of those things. So that's the phrase that God is talking about you in. We don't think about that because we can't see him and because we can't touch him, we think, oh no, he doesn't see us as precious. Because we look at the world and the things that he allows to happen, we say, oh no, we can't be precious to God. We must be expendable. And that's never been the case. That's never been his MO, because right what that scripture says, that we are precious to him, that he loves us, that he will give men to us and all of those different things. And we see that in the other way that we know God loves us is if we look to what he does over 400 years later. So Isaiah was 400 years before the birth of Christ. So we know that God loved us because he decided that he was going to send his son onto the earth to live this perfect life so that we could have salvation. So again, that's another version of why we're so precious. He decided to take care of something that maybe some other people wouldn't have done. Like if something is obsolete to you or you feel like we throw people away. Let me just say that we throw people away often where we feel like when they're not useful to us, if they say something that we don't like, if they are, they hurt us, they harm us, that, oh no, you got to go. You are out of my life for the rest of my life. Right. And like, I'm never going to forgive you. And you know, I'm definitely not going to forget. That's the one that I hear all the time. And look out for the forgiveness episode, because that's going to be a doozy for some people, right? But that's how we are. God is not like us, because I listened to a content creator before say that God doesn't know how to be anything else but faithful, but loving, but cherishing. It's not he can do one or do the other. He has to be this thing because that's all he knows how to be. So that's why we get to this other scripture that has been the calling card of 2024 to me, as well as Psalms 139, which is Ephesians 2:8-10. So let me slow down so that I can really eloquate this part. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Right? That is so powerful to me. Like, let's break that down. Let's go back to Bible study and like break that down line by line, verse by verse. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. So what do you think when you think of gift? When you hear the word gift, what do you think of? When I think about it, I think about my birthday or Christmas, Valentine's Day, Galentine's Day, even Easter, right? We received gifts without having to do anything. Just because you were born, if we think about your birthday, just because you were born, people feel like, okay, I'm gonna give you a gift. I'm gonna spend money on you. I'm going to create something for you just because you were born, not based on any of your, what you do for them, how you treat them. And a lot of times we look at it like that, like, oh, people buy me gifts because I buy them gifts, or I wanna buy people gifts so that they could buy me a gift. And it's like that, no. A gift is something that you receive without earning anything. Whereas something like a prize is something that you have to earn. So when we think about that grace and salvation was given to us through faith and through Jesus's work, and that they were all a gift of God, you begin to peel back the layers of realizing like, oh, wow, this is how this divine being believes about me, right? God looks at me as something that is worthy of a gift without me having to do anything, right? Verse 9 says, not as results of work, so that no one may boast. Why are we saying that? Because oftentimes in our self-sufficiency, especially believers and non-believers, I'm not even going to say especially, believers and non-believers both have it inflated sense of self in this world. We are so capable, right? And I think that that's by God's design, that we are capable creatures. That's why he gave us free will, because he knew how capable we were. But if we could earn salvation, right? Like if we could truly earn it, then there would be a lot of hierarchies, like I talked about before. So the people that earned it would be at the top, and the people that couldn't earn it would be at the bottom. Then it would be, well, I did this. I earned my own salvation and I was able to figure it out. Well, okay, Susan, if you figured it out, where does God come into that space? And it's not that he needs the recognition. He doesn't need to boast, but we couldn't have made it this far, some of us, if it wasn't because of God. And I'm not going to, you can make it seem like that might not be true for you, but like for me, I know that I couldn't have made it to 2025 without God's consistent hand over my life. One of these episodes, I'm going to do a testimony and y'all will understand why I say that with such conviction, is I literally could not have made it without the grace of God. There's another scripture that, I find to be very helpful that talks about that, which is Romans 11:36. And it reads, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. That's what that means, right? That's why I'm speaking or spending a little bit more time on that point, because it's from him and through him and to him that all things are happening. So to think about it like that, that goes back to in that verse 9 where it says it's not because of us, so we can't boast. So now we have to point ourselves vertically to the Lord Almighty and say, okay, so that's why I made it this far. And I think a lot of people understand that as a concept, but what separates people is the belief in it. And that's the whole point of like me even saying, let's say yes to God, because saying yes says the recognition of Romans 11:36, that all things go from him, through him, and to him. And it doesn't mean that we cannot be, confident in our abilities, confident in who we are, but we have to remember that any gift that we have comes from the Lord. So another thing I want to leave us with is that in all of this preciousness and all of the ways that God cherishes us, how should we respond? How should we respond to the Lord when we realize that he has looked at us in a certain way, that he finds us to be precious, that he, believes that we are all the things that we are, right? And it goes back to, it's not about earning Jesus' love, but responding to it. So a lot of times us responding to it looks like us sitting in a space and recognizing that I got to respond with faith. I have to respond with obedience. I have to respond with being slower to condemn people and more quicker to love, because that means I'm behaving more in Christ, more in who he has us to be. And so if you find it difficult to do that, like if you see, find yourself saying like, okay, I hear what you're saying, Ariana, I can recognize and I have faith that, you know, God is who he is and that he loves me and that I'm enough and that I'm not broken, that I am a complete human being. What are some things that I can now do to respond well to the Lord in this space? Well, we respond by loving him with our whole heart, right? We love him with our whole heart, and we love the things he loves, and we hate the things he hates. So if I love the things he loves, that means I love people. So this isolation, individualistic behaviors that we can tend to have at times is not ideal. It's not helpful to us. We have to build community, and we have to connect with people in a very healthy way. So we love that. But what we can hate is sin. So if we don't hate the person committing the sin, let me say it again for the people in the back. We do not hate the people committing the sin. Instead, we hate the actual sin. So become more understanding in what sin is. So it's anything that's against God. And begin to realize how much sin affects us, right? In another time, we will talk more about like all the types of sins that can, you know, end up affecting us in this way. But you have to recognize that I can hate that because I'm not chained to it anymore. Like when Jesus defeated the grave, that gave us the ability to not have to worry about being chained to something that God hates with his whole being. Same thing for us. We have to now hate this sin with our whole being and break off the chains that it has us attached to. So those are the ways that you can start. And you can start by, if you want to figure out how to love what he loves and hate what he hates, open up your Bible and read it and understand it. Whether you're using the King James Version, the New King James Version, the ESV, or the NIV, whatever translation helps you begin to understand those things, begin to open it up and begin to reveal the truth that God so lovingly gave us. He gave us a whole book that teaches us what the truth is versus the lie that the world tells you. So start there. Start healing. If I know that, you know, this may be, well, I don't think it's a hot topic, but if you need help doing it, whether it is you do it in your church with fellow believers who are going through the same process with you, or go find you a faith-based Christian counselor, right, that can sit in a space with you and help you process emotions that may be difficult for you to do on a daily basis. Slow down. Do all of these different things that can help you get closer to understanding the truth that God has already revealed to us. So begin there. Start the process. We already started it by, you know, knowing that God chose us first. But now when it's your turn, you have to reveal the truth through your own exploration of God and what he has to offer us. So that is it for today. I pray that this episode gave you another reason to say yes to God. Continue to press in, and as Luke wrote in his Gospels, the heavens are rejoicing over your decision. Love and blessings.